434-1-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 2664862. Always a source of joy and pleasure to exchange with you. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just came out of Paragon yesterday. I want to share my experience in Paragon. While I was there, I saw a video that was sent out into the social media. Had I seen that video before, I would have never gone to Paragon. My experience there was totally different. And I want to say to people, Paragon, the surroundings is clean. The dorm I was in was clean. And fortunately, the same place I was where the video was taken. But apparently, the lights were turned off when the video was taken. The floor, those are gray tiles, and it would look dirty, but it's no dirt. Clean, clean as a whistle. When we went in, I remember one lady started to wipe down the bedstead. She said, look at this, not little dirt. So I didn't even have to go to mine. However, food, perfect. They give you enough food. 30, I would serve breakfast. By 11:30, I would serve lunch. The evening, by between 4 and 5, I would serve dinner. Of course, I had little snacks. Let me tell you, thank God to the government of Barbados that have provided this place for us. Let me tell you, nurses, I'll give 100%. Thank God for their patience, the kindness, the love they show, even on the front line, and have them to go home to their own people, the general workers. You had coffee, tea, sugar, milk, a hot water pot that you can do 24 hours. We ran out of water in our dorm. We boil water. The breeze is so high up there, I'm a hottie. And 10 o'clock in the day, I cover my foot. The breeze is so windy up there. We boil our water. I pour in a bottle, a half-gallon bottle that they bring with juice and put in. But thank God, one person called someone that lives close by, and they bring us water. So then we didn't have to use that, but we did what? It's a military camp. As far as the showers, there were 11 showers. Yes, you have to come outside. Walk a few yards to the shower. The hot water, I gone and turned around thing, and the powerful. Powerful,
burn.
Sir.
Ma'am, let me just say a couple of things to you before you continue. One.
Yes, sir.
There was a discussion on Down to Brass Tacks with a gentleman who came off on the cruise ships, an entertainer, who talked about the conditions at Paragon. Then there was the lady who had called Mr. Ellis on the 16th and made some comments about being in quarantine. Was asked if she was at Paragon. She said, no, it was not Paragon, but she painted a horror story. And yes, I saw the video in circulation. And yesterday, I actually called the head of the, not yesterday, the day before, Tuesday when I was on. I actually, during the break, one of the breaks, called the person responsible for quarantine facilities because I'd seen the video and I wanted to find out if it was Paragon and the conditions there. And I had a lengthy chat with him and he assured me of certain things. And now you're putting certain things on the table. The challenge with social media and people asking you to take up things on their behalf is exactly what is unfolding here. Because you get conflicting stories from people and their experiences, and you're left to question which one of them you should follow. And there were emails and WhatsApp messages coming from people overseas saying, you know, I wanted to come back home, but now I don't want to come back home. Now I hear this. I wanted to do this, but now I don't want to because I'm hearing that. And I think it is important as we try to rebuild the country, reopen the country, and encourage people to follow protocols, that we get accuracy and that fear-mongering or even people trying to overcompensate does not make it too confusing for persons to understand what's happening and how to follow the protocols. Now, the reason why I ask that is to ask this. How long were you at Paragon?
I came in on Monday.
Okay.
From New York.
Right. And you had your...
I had a negative test with you? Yes. So they count from the date that test, I guess, to cover that 72 hours, and
correct.
I was tested again.
You were taken to be tested?
No, right next door in the testing building at Paragon.
Okay, so you were tested at Paragon. Okay.
The beauty about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go nowhere. Right there, my name was called Eulene Rollo. Okay, I go over, and let me tell you, so thorough and sterile, they spray even the chair that I sit down in.
Okay.
I assume they are Cubans based on, I hear the accent, and I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you. And I point to my left nostril. I wanted her to go there rather than the right.
Okay.
And she gave me a piece of napkin to blow. I mean, even the table, just in case I had rest there. They sprayed.
Okay.
It is so, let me tell you, so efficient.
So you're released now?
I released, yes.
Okay. How was that? How was that process?
So gentle.
You got your second test. It was negative, and they told you within
I
what?
I can go home.
24 hours, same day?
No, I came in on Monday, and I came home yesterday, Wednesday. The results come back
came
Wednesday.
Back
it was tested okay. right.
Okay.
So my they count from the date I took the test
the first
was
one.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So they come, I guess they want to make sure that 72 hours that you were exposed and get on that flight, they want to cover you again.
All right, got you. And then your people were able to come right up there and pick you up?
Yes.
Okay.
The Wi-Fi, let me tell you, I pay for Wi-Fi in New York and it wasn't as good as Paragon. No, sir, I am serious. I was chipping out in New York up there. I was talking like, oh, I'm talking to you now,
okay.
to my friends and family.
Okay.
Showers clean. Listen, I didn't have anything to get angry with. I get angry with the chef. My last day of dinner was spaghetti and minced meat, and I don't like that.
Well, hopefully, as soon as you left, you were able to get what you want.
Yeah, so I did it as a joke with the others.
Right.
So we were so together there. We took our social distance. The nurses remind us we still have to keep our masks on.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you about cleanliness, if you don't like to see an old bedstead, don't go to Paragon. That's the only thing. But
okay.
the mattress was firmer than the one I'm lying on.
Okay,
right
ma'am.
Now.
I thank you for sharing that with us and putting another view of the conditions at quarantine. Brass Dex, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Well, first, let me say I cannot at this time report on the usual matter I bother
you bother me about?
Yeah, I cannot report on that right now. Hopefully, by today, I will be able to shed some light on that.
Okay.
But what I want to raise with you this morning is this money resolution that the government is pumping this $140 million into several ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honest with you, Mr. Johnson, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to begin because it said that this money is supposed to generate economic activities during the COVID period. But if this money has gone into government ministries, I don't know to buy trucks for sanitation, how that's going to generate economic activity in Barbados, because those trucks will be purchased from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, how many trucks are being purchased, what cost the trucks would be purchased at, and how soon you can get the trucks. So again, that one have me a bit, and that's $3 million. And I don't know if out of that $3 million, if some of that money is to be paid for some trucks before. But there's a lot of things that happen at Sanitation Service Authority that $3 million cannot cover. So, again, but they said that it's a purchase the truck.
They
so
said for trucks.
I will leave it.
Yeah,
truck,
that's what
he
said. Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know. The other thing I want to find out is that you pay $314,924 to waste haulers professional management for out in two fires. A fire in June 2019, one in August 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a lot of money to out two fires. And my mind is only to my mind. If you add what you would normally pay, let me say, the Barbados Fire Service, to out fires, to me those fires are extremely costly.
But hold on.
And,
hold on. Hold on.
I just asked the question.
I know. And I just asking you some questions too.
Yeah.
What were those two fires like? How long did they last, and what they had to do to bring it under control? Because if you had a situation where they had to move mold using multiple trucks, truck excavators, various, there must be a breakdown of the cost of each man per hour, that kind of estimation or that kind of billing would have to be done.
Yeah.
Now, there are times when the fire service would use their facilities to bring fires under control. But we also had situations where several other agencies other than waste haulers, including the Williams Group and other people, had to provide assistance when you had tires on fire over days, flare-ups, and you've had to use heavy-duty equipment and other things. So the question, therefore, is this one, as a supplementary, because it ran over costs associated with putting out fires, were other people paid through the channels that were budgeted for, so we don't know how much they were paid? If it was an SBRC, is it a payback in their case, so you wouldn't see it in the supplementary? So those are the minutiae, if you want to call it that, the little fine details that would not come out just looking at figures. I saw the figures, and to tell you the truth, since I don't know what it costs to bring a fire under control or what kind of fire it was, I couldn't raise my flag or my hand at that one. But
yeah, but then, not crossing you, but then for transparency and accountability and interest, then I think somewhere along the line, as taxpayers, we should get an idea where or what.
But that's why you have representatives. But that's why you have representatives in parliament to ask the question, which is the comment I was making earlier about having a one-man opposition, because he may or may not be able to flag that in the process of, a contribution in parliament. Whereas if you had someone shadowing, Transport Works, maintenance, they would be able to raise that question and get an answer. It's one of the deficits of our parliamentary system, that the type of questions you raise are sometimes not answered in the process, in the the general conversation.
Right. The other one I want to raise with you quickly is this $2.8 million for Harrison Scale.
Right.
Now, this money is to be paid to the Caribbean Development Bank as a bailout because the CAVE would have done this redevelopment.
Right. They couldn't make any money when it was shut down.
Right, they couldn't make any money where it was shut down. Mm-hmm. So obviously, because government is still part of the CAVE, it falls on the government to pay the make the obligation to the bank.
Correct.
But my concern is, why do we need to have some outside entity managing the CAVE at this point in time? Is there not enough qualified marketing people in Barbados that would be able to manage the CAVE going forward? And if this is the case, would the government have to put more money in the CAVE outside of paying the Caribbean Development Bank?
So, according to what I've heard or seen about the Jamaican entity that will manage the CAVE, part of the proposal is for them to upgrade the CAVE using their money. In other words, they would invest the money to upgrade the facilities, the presentation, the general offer of the CAVEs to the public. And therefore, it means that the strategic plan, I suppose, is to have the CAVE upgraded without the government of Barbados either going to the CDB or some other lending agency to get money to do whatever upgrades are necessary. As you are well aware, the CAVE has had upgrades over the years. You had the lift put in, you had to change the trams. Perhaps now you're looking to add other attractions. This is a company that, from what has been presented, manages attractions. And perhaps the decision was taken to go with them because they made the best offer. If you have a situation where you would say, look, in the next 5 years, we would like to see $25 million or $35 million or even $10 million spent on upgrading the cave, and you have no local company that wants to undertake that challenge. Quite fine, they have them manage, but because you want a $10 or $20 million upgrade, and the company says to you, well, we can't put $20 million into this because we don't have the wherewithal to do it, you as a government would have to guarantee a loan on our behalf. And somebody else comes along and say, look, I have the capital. I can invest $25 million. This is what I can do. This is the return I want. This is how much I plan to charge. This is how much you will get for it. It depends on your presentation, how you make the offer. What I find, and this is, again, just my finding, in too many of these cases, the questions that you want answered, the questions that you just asked, are not asked. And what is said perhaps does not satisfy you, whereas it may satisfy me or somebody else. And I think in all the cases, the government needs to make it their business, the same way they use all the media available to them, social media, GIS, town hall meetings, all these avenues of reaching the public, that they use all of them to ensure that people get the answers that they want when they ask them. And
right.
If they now do that, it can be easier to swallow the pill.
Right. Now, the final one, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. This $81,700 to pay for another consultant. Mm-hmm. In a ministry that have already six consultants, as far as my reckoning is concerned.
One may be going if what we hear is true.
But if you're going, you still come back to six, because he would have made the seven one,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing to do with the government, civil servants, and those guys who also have some kind of brain in terms of economic activities and such. So my thing is, why do we need so much consultants in a small economy like Barbados? And yet still, we have not been seeing any real foreign investment or any investments at all. Because this money that is being allocated to the ministries that they say would stimulate investments, this is taxpayers' money taken up from the Treasury to give to taxpayers to put back into the Treasury. So all I'm saying here, with all these consultants, we should at least be getting more as a government and a country out of these guys. But the reality is that nobody is investing. So don't give us all these big pictures about investment. But in truth and in fact, you can't find anybody to invest.
But let me ask you this. How do you know that the advice is on investment?
But, so why would you have all these...
I don't know, sir, and that was the question, sir.
Just to see how much gas, how much money we should pay in gas again?
Sir.
Or real taxes or something. Sir,
that's why I said at the beginning, as with every investment we make in anything, whether it's salaries, advisors, whatever, you have to ask what... are we getting? What is the advice for? And what's the return? Because if you think it's about getting investment, then it's not. If it's about, quote unquote, stimulating the economy and you don't see the stimulation, if it's about how to manage the resources you have so that you could pay back the entities and not fall outside of the guidelines and stipulations that you laid down by the IMF, if at the end of the day, for an investment of $800,000, you get $8.1 million in real revenue, earned revenue, then you say it's well spent. If you can't measure it or you don't know what it is, you will end up speculating. And you may speculate wrong. You know, it's like if you said to me, you know, Dennis, you got a lot of money hanging around there. Lend me $100,000. And I ask you what for. And you tell me, I want to buy a truck. Unless you could tell me, what are you going to do with the truck to give me back my $100,000? I ain't giving you my $100,000. If you're buying the truck to drive out and look nice and pick up girls, I ain't giving you my $100,000. But if you show me that for $100,000, you could give me back $1 million in 5 years, I with you, I give you more than $100,000. I give you two trucks because I want piece of the action. So it all comes down to what you tell the public, how you keep them informed, and what you get in return. Communication. That's what it is. And you know, I get told that, you know, talking. But you got to ask a question. You got to get an answer. You got to talk. Thanks. 4341790. Oh, by the way, before I go to this next call, I saw in the Trinidad Guardian this morning that there is to be an unveiling of a wax statue of the mighty sparrow, Slinger Francisco, at the Caribbean Wax Museum in Barbados. And that sparrow was quite pleased with the tribute being paid to him in wax in Barbados. So there you go. A Grenadian Trinidadian getting waxed in Barbados. There is CARICOM working for you. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I was listening to the governor of the central bank. It was last night, or whatever. And he was speaking about the economy. And I was wondering why, at a time like this, why we should be spending thousands of dollars to move Nelson when the country is in such a state. That is not a priority. I see every day you can see people not getting certain monies owed to them, and still we can spend thousands of dollars to move Nelson, which is not a priority. That can be done at a later date. Another thing is they're talking about the rodents. When are we going to move all these old cars that we bush? Some of them even have garbage piled in them. They are not only rodents that we can harbor. They can harbor criminals. They can harbor drugs, all sorts of things, these old cars, all over the island, making the roads small. There's an area when I pass, dropping off my children at George Land. I can see cars park, and you can't even shun. You can't even shun the side of the road because the old cars are there with the trees. Then the drains, the dishes are deep. You can't pass. And when is government going to address this, please? These things are going to the island. These old cars want to be made from the side of the road before we bring any villagers to this place. It is a nuisance. And in other places in the world, you can't have these cars because every day they're there, you have to pay, even if they are yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, this issue of derelict vehicles, the issue of discarded tires, they harbor, as you say, rodents. In some cases, they could be harboring other things. And from time to time, there are these campaigns, plans to clear areas, and then they fall back into the same state of disrepair. And there's a gentleman who calls this program regularly. And sometimes his contributions annoy people, let me put it that way. But one of the suggestions he made at one point is that if government has areas in industrial estates that are lying fallow, if they allow persons who have wayside garages, persons who want to deal in cutting up cars to get spare parts, if they allow them to operate out of one area where we could move them from being wayside operations into being, you know, in an area more conducive to the type of work they do, we could eliminate some of the problems. But it would call for the people wanting to move from in front of their house to go somewhere else, and it would call for a level of cooperation that perhaps we haven't been able to achieve. But there are opportunities to do two things. One, rid the area of unsightly vehicles, and two, give somebody an opportunity to make money, because there is money in scrap. That's why we got Scrap Man and, you know, Bees and the other people who got into recycling and trying to remove some of these derelict vehicles and nuisances in some areas. In some areas, people crash into them because they don't know it's there, covered over by grass, and, you know, they don't know that behind it is a lot of metal. And they get into trouble. Ma'am, I can't say that I don't support your call. I really can't. I hope you see some action on it. a case of priorities, I suppose, on the decision to pay to remove Horatio. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Sir Dennis.
Good morning, sir.
I'm sorry I couldn't get in this morning. My light, the power went off, lighting power. I shut off, so I had to listen in my motor car. Therefore, he could not call.
I hope it's not because you didn't pay your bill.
No, I just hope it's not worse.
I just hope it.
First, I must thank you for defending not only me, but the opposing person on. It was Wednesday?
It was yesterday. Wednesday, yesterday, yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, this program supposed to be an informative and an educational program. Not only to come and talk with a burst pipe, but to get people to know what went on in this country. This debate started, and I told you one of the unfortunate things about this program is that there's no recordings that could play back. You remember I tell you that?
Unless I
ask you this morning to play back.
Let me backtrack here. Prior to the days of electronic monitoring, we used to have tape decks sitting next to us recording as we went along. We also used to have a technical operator on duty in addition to the person answering the phone and the person producing. So it was possible to assign somebody to pull back a piece of tape and play it back in real time. Now, with electronic monitoring, everything that's done on this radio goes to a hard drive. The thing is, retrieving it is a process that takes time, and depending on what you're using, you have to wait for half an hour or for a complete hour before you can get to it. So it's not possible for me to say, for example, play back what I said at 10 o'clock this morning when I started just off the top of my head like that.
Yeah, okay.
It won't work that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
No problem.
But the problem is that I try to defend myself because it is alleged that I come and misinform the people. And I take my time out to do research and question people and who was in authority to confirm what I said that was disowned by the person. So that is why I came and I get the name of the union that was formed because it was said that I misinformed the public.
Sir, I know. I got it.
No, that is the reason. I'm not going to do it no more.
Thank you.
I'm not going down that road.
Good.
I only tell you that I thank you for what you did.
No problem, sir.
Right, good. Now let me go on to, I want to deal with two issues, but I want to deal with the cable head mention about the $50 million that is going to spend on the caves for development.
Mm-hmm.
Now I live near the cave, and as a taxi driver, you know I would visit the cave. I knew when the caves had the last development. One question on that, because it's not my point, it's only because I heard you and a person was discussing the cave.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, no person, unless it happens without my knowledge, none of the residents around the cave have no knowledge of the $50 million development. And I don't know if it's physical. I don't know what it is. The people around don't know what it is. And I think it is only fair for those people that residents should have a knowledge of what this $50 million would incur, right or wrong.
Sir, I can't disagree with that because there are people who live in and around the area of Harrison Cave who have complained, some of them on air, that because of the cave's development, they're not able to do certain things that they did before, develop their family plot and extend this and do that because it could contaminate the environment of the cave itself, inside the cave. There were also, when the late Julian Hunt was still with us, he talked about the fact that the cave could be expanded and that there's much more to be developed because he was part of the original development. So I have to agree that if you're going to do improvements in the area of the cave or improve the cave itself, those who live in proximity should know whether it means widening roads, whether it means acquiring land, whether it means, you know, other things that would affect their livelihood. Can't all disagree right. with that, sir.
All right, sufficient for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last night, I listened to some, not all, kind of fell asleep with the governor of the central bank.
Put now, you to sleep, man?
Man, David, governor because, I mean, like that is because there's no taxi work out there.
I know.
I do a lot.
You're going
of
to sleep early. When
sleep
taxi work, when I taxi work, start back. Don't
reading.
Fall asleep on the people here. Go ahead, man.
No, what's that address?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, man. I heard the governor of the central bank,
mm-hmm.
and you know, sometimes people say Barbados got short memory. I want to refer back to the last governor, Delay Worrell. Could you recall? That the lady where the past governor made a statement in this country that everybody went here with, that the government would have to shed 5,000 workers from its payroll. You can remember that?
Yeah, he made those predictions.
Yeah.
As part of his plan to balance
right.
the budget.
Right. Now, the first 3,000 went home under the Democratic Labor Party. And we had all sorts of things coming from the workers' representative, both the NUPW, the BW, the necessary unions. So far that we went as far as what was said that when you send home these people, what would happen to them? And we had an issue about Ferguson last out. You can remember that?
Yes, sir. There ain't nothing wrong with my brain
before
yet.
The tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first 3,000. Now, this government came into power. They sent home the other 2,000. I cannot recall if there's anybody that could tell me I am listening to hear if the same human cry went on when those 2,000 went on, whether they were permanent or temporary. The fact that I am seeing is that 3 plus 2 is 5. So the same 5,000.
No. That's your calculations, right? I am always mystified by how you get it around to where you want. You, I can't call you a mystery spinner no more because it's not a mystery to me that you're spinning. What's a mystery to me is that you run up from St. Lucie to spin a ball when you could spin it from 3 steps in front of me. When Dr. Delisle Worrell made the prediction about persons being sent home, 5,000 persons going home, as far as I recall, since you asked me if I recall, as far as I recall, was post the 3,000 that had already gone under the last administration. And he was saying to balance the budget rather than whatever the government was, the incoming government was trying to do. His recommendation, rather than BERT and BOSS and BERRY and all the other acronyms that we've come up with, was to trim the civil servant service by 5,000. Those jobs have been obsolete. They're no longer required. You had to change the entire structure of it, and 5,000 people should go home. And of course, sir, there was pushback from the unions when restructuring was done in almost every government agency. The statutory corporations, the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation, and some of the corporations that should still be trimmed. We were supposed to merge, I don't know if it merged yet, perhaps it has, the BTMI with the BMI and all the other MIs to put tourism under one head in. We were supposed to move the one where we send people home on retirement and they lost the case, another one of those bees. So we got statutory corporations that were supposed to be restructured under the BERT program, the IMF agreement, that as far as I know, ain't get restructured yet. Right? So, Dr. Delight's Worrell's prediction, or prescription, let me use the right term, wasn't 3 plus 2. See, that's why some people can't pass thing. We call it multiple choice because you pick the wrong answer. So that's a wrong spinning. That one ain't working. Go back and check. Check that mathematics. It ain't right. Not my recollection. Anyhow. Brass Stacks, good morning. Hello? Brass Stacks, good morning.
I want to talk about, we have some people in Barbados that live here and go overseas to make this right, build house and thing and get things organized.
Right.
And we have some people out here that work and would work for these people. And then after work for these people, and they work the right way, sometimes they do the work, collect the money, and then the people come home, things ain't right, and things never get to head in. Like, sometimes the people even left in Geelong back way. You understand me? Come home to live and then can't live.
Can't live.
Got to Geelong back way.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Hello?
Yeah. I have heard of that, yes, sir.
Right. I have a friend right now overseas, and he just gone there to fix up some business, and he have a house and everything here. He come back and build. And he asked a gentleman that is do fencing, you know, around the house. So he charged you a certain amount of money, and he said he would do it, and he was sending the money by the brother and thing, and then he talked to him, and he would tell him when he owned, the fella doing the job, tell him when he should, at least he would call you and tell you, well, look, send 2,000.
Right,
send
correct.
Three, right, you know? And he do that. He's sending the money all the time to you. He sent in till he reached the amount, which was 9,900 and some change. And you know, the job ain't done yet.
Yeah, are you surprised?
And you know something? The brother that here now tried to get on to him, you know, he ain't talking to the brother neither on the phone.
Because he don't believe the brother anymore, right?
Right. The owner now that overseas now, he called him and at least tell him, look, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to put on, is a big gate to put on now, and two small ones. You know the big gate where we had to come through.
When you come through with a car or a truck, yeah, correct. And then the ones you could walk in.
He said, I would like when they come home, them gates on, and he gave some rough words. You know, he ain't talk back to he no more. He won't talk to the brother. I ain't going and doing the job. So will you tell me what you think should happen now?
So,
I call, you know, he fell out, this business belongs to him. And I call him, you know, because I call him because I know that he's soon coming. He could even come in today. And I want the fella that will do the job
to know that he's there and come and fix it.
When he come in, he got to either hide once the job ain't done because he's so cruel. I call now so that the fella would hear because they don't want to
and run and hide. So look, let me tell you this, eh? You see what you're describing? So that has happened when people right here at home, you know. This has happened when people, not the people overseas, they're right here at home, right? And they pay somebody to do a job, and the person come and say, well, I need 3,000 more today, I need 2,500, I got to pay the man, I got to go and buy a pole, I got to paint the gate, I got to get paint for this, and they ain't come back. You ain't seen gate, you ain't seen pole, you ain't seen man. And you right here. So when you overseas and you got, you know, deal with three different people, so I ain't surprised. All I could tell you is, I glad you tell the fellow, you know, get some protection or put up the gates and thing real fast. Unfortunately, and this is the unfortunate part, eh? And this is the part where I ain't smiling. Unfortunately, there are people who take those chances because they figure they could get away with it, the person ain't here, and by the time the person come back, they could finish whatever they're doing and get some money and come back and finish the other job quick or get some money from somebody else and put them in the same position you in to finish your job and then, you know, run it like that. Unfortunately, because of COVID and people lay off, it ain't so easy to play that game right now. You could play that game when they got 20 projects up and running and you could jump from one to the other. Sir, that is what undermines the confidence in our small, medium, single-owned businesses in Barbados. It's what tarnishes the reputation of the country. And why my people, with all their brilliant schemes and plans, can't see that little fact is something that worries me. When a contractor can tell you, when you challenge him, can say to you, I sorry, but I take your paint to finish a job I was doing, and when they pay me, I can bring back your paint. Sir, that's dishonesty. And you then don't trust the person anymore. And that's the basis on which you hire people, that you trust them. So I hope the person listening, I really hope so. And I hope he hired too. Because, you know, your brother might want to take, you know, challenges, might want to take things into his own hands and might get him into trouble. I don't want him to do that. So tell the fella fix the gate. Somehow. Brass Tacks, good morning. John said I could get one more in before we break for the regional roundup, and it's you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Father Armstrong here. I'm trying to... good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on yesterday talking to Mr. Wickham, but I got disconnected. Can I have just 5 minutes of your time, please? Firstly, I want to make a correction about a comment that was made by sometime last week about what I was alleged to have said about the relevance of the Ten Commandments.
So you've done that one already. So you've made it. You made that point clear yesterday during the conversation with Peter. You also made an apology about persons taking what you said about your charity as being an advertisement. I can tell you, speaking to David Ellis, who you spoke to at the time, who's the station manager, and as the producer, neither of us saw it as being an advertisement. If it was, we would both have said so to you, sir. That's why we gave you time to explain what it is your charity does and to also let you give your number so that people could call if they wanted to find out more about it. So I really thank you for taking the time to try to make the corrections, but I can assure you the corrections have been made and the persons are well aware of the work that you do.